Good morning, everybody. How about Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9? Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, 'I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness.'" Hosea 11:4 says, "I led them with the cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them I was like one who lifts a child, a little child, to the cheek and bent down to feed them." 1 John 4, 9 and 10 says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we come as people on a journey of trying to understand God and to walk with you, Lord. We praise you, God, that you have reached down to us, that you have made yourself known. We praise you, God, that you pursue us and that you know us by name. Lord, we ask, God, this morning that you would reveal yourself to us, that you would bring illumination and revelation, that you would bring understanding of who you are and why are we here and why did you put us here. Father, we as human beings weep with those who weep. Lord, we pray for those in Mexico that have had a terrible earthquake, a second one, Lord. We pray, Father, for you to just be compassion and kindness, and God, use circumstances like this to bring, to draw people and shake people closer to you. And Lord, we pray that you would just be there in the midst of that suffering as we know you are. We recognize, Lord, even from last week's message, we live in a broken world, and our weather is broken, we are broken, our bodies are broken, and yet, God, you are a God that restores. So we give you praise this morning. Thank you, Lord, what you're about to do this morning. We pray this in the name of Jesus, and all those who love God would say what? Awesome. You all may be seated, and as you are, welcome to the second Sunday in the series that we're doing calling Questions. Is it okay to ask God questions? Are you sure? Does he frown on you if you're to ask God a question? You know, in the Old Testament, all the superheroes of the Old Testament, from Abraham to Moses, David, and the prophets, they all asked God questions. In the New Testament, we find people all the time asking Jesus questions. Anybody go see the movie Risen after coming for last Sunday? You, right? It's a great movie. In this movie, I love this movie. I was drawn to this movie. There's a scene in this movie that I just long for. In this movie Risen, and we took a clip from it, the Roman centurion that was there that was a part of crucifying Jesus is put in charge of trying to figure out what happened to his resurrected body. And all of a sudden, he comes face to face with the risen Christ. And this Roman Gentile is blown away that this guy is living because I watched him die. I was in charge of killing him. And he ends up being wrapped up with the disciples, and they're in the Sea of Galilee, and the 40 days between Jesus coming up out of the grave and ascending back to the Father. In these 40 days, this Roman centurion has just been thrown into the mix. And one night, he wakes up, and there's Jesus sitting up on the hill looking up at the stars. And he goes up, and he sits down, and he says, "I don't even know what to say." What an opportunity. Imagine if you could have the opportunity of sitting with Jesus and just him saying, "Speak your heart. Do you have any questions for me? Do you have a question for God?" Can you imagine sitting with Jesus and Jesus says, Ask me a question. What would your questions be? Are questions okay? Check this out. I've always enjoyed these. I have some questions that some children have asked God, and I like them. And we'll try to shoot some of them. This one's from Jennifer. It says, "Dear God, in Bible times, did they really talk that fancy? Thou be it true, thus does speak thy fancy ways." And the New King James, that's a nice, or the King James, I guess you'd say, that's not bad. I kind of liked it. "Dear God, I went to this wedding and they kissed right in church. Is that okay?" Good question. Is that okay? It's okay, right? Or how about Jane? Jane, I like this one. "Dear God, instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones you got now?" That's a deep theological question. I like that one. That one's not bad, Jane. That's not bad. I like it. How about this one? "Dear God, I bet it's very hard for you to love all of everybody in the whole world. There are only 4 people in our family, and I can never do it." That's not bad, right? Good. Is these questions good? How about this one? This one's from Donna. "We read that Thomas Edison made light, but in Sunday school, they said that you did it. So I bet he stole your idea." That's good. How about this one? This one's from Larry. "Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other so much if they had their own rooms. It works with my brother." Not bad. Great questions. You know when Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me." You know, we all have questions. We all have questions. Actually, we knew we wanted to do this series, and we were asking you in the church in August, you know, if you could ask God a question, what would your questions be? And we asked you to fill them out, and we've got so many great questions, and from your questions in the cards and on Facebook, we just put them together, and we said, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do a series called Questions, and from your questions, we created this, and on the back you'll see where we're heading, where are we going. Last week, one of your main questions was, why do bad things happen? Isn't that true? God, why do you allow bad things to happen? If you were with us this last Sunday, we did our best to answer that. And today we're going to be talking about, why am I here? Next week, what's the deal with heaven? And then what's the deal with hell? And so forth. And these are your questions. You know, I like this one. What? Who am I? What's my purpose? Why did you make us? What's your plan? And is it working? Good question. Have you ever asked that question? Why did God put you and me here? You know, how many people have ever asked this question before? Haven't you asked this question? Why am I here? What's the purpose? What was he thinking? What was his plan? I've asked this question. I believe that the answer to this question is found when we look at our own DNA of our deepest desires. What's the most important thing to you? Is work the most important thing to you? Is the most important thing in your life work? You know, I as a pastor have never been on a person's deathbed asking or saying, "I wish I just could have worked more." What is the most important thing in your life? What is the most treasured thing to you? Is it relationships? How many people in here would say that relationships, that family, friends, husband, wife, dating, marriage, has absolutely no meaning and no purpose or no value to you whatsoever in your life? That this is the lowest on your priority list? How many of you in here would say that relationships is the least thing you've ever have in life? How many of you would say that? Okay. How would you say it's one of the most important things. Relationships. Look around. Where does this come from? A lot of times on people's deathbeds, hear people say, I wish I would have spent more time with my kids. I wish I would have spent more time with this and that. People. People. Where does this desire, this value of relationships comes from? People, it comes from our Creator. It comes from our God. I want you to take notes this morning, and if you have the opportunity to be in a growth group, so we love it when you take your notes, just fill them out and out, you know, and then go to your groups this week and take your notes and walk through it. And I want you to write this down. You ready? Number one, this is a great epiphany. God is a relational being. The reason why you are relational is because God is relational. God is a relational being, and since we're made in His image, we also are relational in being. And God, people, created us for a relationship with Him and for each other. And this is seen in the very beginning of the book of Genesis. In Genesis 1 and 2, God creates light and earth and the stars and the heavens and plants and animals, and God creates a human being, a very special being, made in His image, with the ability of thought and reason and choice. And God, and it says that God walks in the cool of the day with these beings. This is so cool. We were talking about this on Thursday with just the pastors as we were looking at the message, and we were looking in Genesis 3. It says that God, in the cool of the day, was walking in the garden, and Adam and Eve hear Him. What did they hear? Could they hear the rustling of leaves? Was God humming? Like, they just heard God. God, who is this that they heard? He's a living being. He's a living being walking there. God creates a perfect place called the Garden of Eden for them to live. And God is in relationship with them. We were looking at this text. How many times did God do this? God calls out to Adam. He's not looking for a plant to have a conversation with. He's looking for mankind. He's looking for a special being in His garden made in His image. He's looking for Adam. He's looking for Eve. He's looking to talk. He's looking to communicate. God is doing this. Who is this God? He's a living being. How many times did God do that? So, I've been on a walk down memory lane. I'm a young man who gave my life to Jesus in my early 20s, and I ended up going to a place called Biola University, and which I'm very grateful for. I went there as an undergrad student. I went to Talbot for the graduate program. I got to teach there a while in their biblical studies department. I remember as a person 3 years into my walk with Jesus, taking a class at Biola called God, Christ, Holy Spirit with Dr. Flory. Now, Dr. Flory, I hope he had a nickname. We called him Snorry Flory. Don't tell him. One day we were in class and he began speaking on God's attributes in this class. And he said that God is divine personality. And I had never heard that before. I remember as Dr. Flory began talking about God's attribute of divine being or divine personality, I was mesmerized as I listened to him begin to describe God being divine personality. Have you ever heard that terminology before? Would you say it with me on the count of three? Ready? One, two, three. Divine personality. Isn't that an interesting combination of words? Divine personality. It's pretty simple. God's divine. God has personality, right? Divine personality. You have personality. Where did you get your personality? Well, you're made in His image. So you get one too. God is divine. God is personality. You have a personality because you're made in his image. So you have personality as well. Divine personality. I remember Dr. Flory talking about God being a divine personal being. Take notes on that. Write this down. God is divine personality. Play with that word this week. It's a catchy word. I like it. Is God some impersonal cosmic black hole? Answer? No. He's a being with personality. God is a being with personality. People, take notes on this. God is living. Deuteronomy 5:26 says, "For what mortal has ever heard the voice of the living God?" God is living. You're living. God is living. God is intelligent. You're intelligent, God's intelligent. You're made in his image. Isaiah 11:2 says, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, a spirit of wisdom, the Holy Spirit of wisdom, a spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge." God is intelligent, and so are you, made in his image. Did you know that God is self-aware? God is self-aware. God said to Moses, "I am what I am." I love in John 6, Jesus, it says Jesus already knew what he was intending to do. God is self-aware. He's self-conscious. God's self-conscious. God knows himself completely. He's divine personality. Did you know that God has emotional capacity? God has emotional capacity. Where did you get your emotional capacity? You got it from the one that, whose image you bear. Did you know that God has love? God has anger and wrath? God has compassion? God has graciousness and mercy? God experiences sadness and grief? That these emotions represent genuine feelings in God, which are perfectly balanced in a perfect being. See, do you know what rage is? Rage. Rage is uncontrollable anger. When Jesus flipped over the tables, he was not raging. He was anger in perfect balance. God experiences all these feelings in perfect balance as a perfect being. God has emotional capacity. I remember listening to Dr. Flory as he was talking about this, and I was sitting there going, "You're describing the being that has touched my life." He's not describing some title. My wife, Cinda, is Cinda. Her title is wife, okay? She's my wife. I don't have relationship with her title. I have a relationship with a being that I walk in harmony with. Her title's wife, but I don't have relationship with title. I have a relationship with a being. Do you understand this? A being. I remember, so I am a motorhead. I just washed my car yesterday. It looked so clean. I just love the V8 engine. I had trouble with hot rods. I used to race at Riverside Raceway as a kid in high school. I love cars. I used to valet park in college. As I was going through college, I made good money. And I liked doing parties because after the parties, we would do these parties, all the people would show up, and then we just wait and sit around. They bring us duck or whatever the people are eating, or the valets. We got 100 cars parked out there. And I would talk with all these people. I'm a student at Saddleback or at Biola. And I would talk with all these guys. And some of them, I hate to tell you what some of these guys would do after you let them park your car. Some of them whip out dope and begin smoking dope, and whatever. And I'm this Christian, young kid, who's taken with this Jesus, And there was this guy, I still remember him, because he's like, you know, it's interesting hearing you speak. He goes, I was raised in Christian schools. I've been raised in Catholic schools and Christian schools. He says, I'm just really questioning, you know, what I even believe. And I said, oh, okay, well, that's cool. Yeah, we're all on a spiritual journey. I said, so you have gone to Christian/Catholic schools for 12 years. He said, that's right. I go, so then could you explain to me what is the essence of Christianity? Isn't that good? He looked at me and he says, don't sin. Really? The essence of Christianity is don't sin. Could imagine me saying, the essence of my relationship with Cinda is don't have an affair. That's the essence of my marriage. Really? The essence of my marriage is to walk in relationship with my wife. To journey through this life together. The essence of why I married her was not to not sin. The essence of why I married her is I wanted to walk in relationship with her. People, what is the essence of the Christian faith? Relationship. Why did God put me here? What was God's plan? What was he thinking? And is it working? Good questions. People, God is divine personality. God walking in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. And he's looking for a certain being that he created. A being made in his image. A being that also has emotional capacity. A living being. God was walking in the cool of the day, not looking to talk to a plant. He's looking out for Adam and Eve. Where are you, Adam? People, write this down. And then talk about it this week. Why am I here? Write this down. One of the main reasons why God created you is for a personal love relationship with him. One of the main reasons. The top of the list in my understanding of why God created you was for a personal love relationship with him. The essence of Christianity is that we were created to be in a love relationship with God. One day they were asked Jesus, what is the number one commandment? And Jesus said, the number one commandment is don't sin. I'm so bummed that 12 years of, that's what you got in 12 years of education? Bummer. Jesus, what is the number one commandment? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is first and the greatest commandment. This is what God wants. People, a love relationship with God is more important than any other single factor of your existence on this earth. And people, this is unique to Christianity. It's unique. If you try to talk to a Hindu about a personal God, if you try to speak to a Buddhist about a personal God, if you try to speak to a Muslim about a personal God, you will get the weirdest looks because it is a foreign idea. Foreign. When I was valeting all those years, my boss was from Iran. His name was called Farad, and he ended up liking me, so he used my name. He says, my name is no Frank. So his name is Frank. And he liked me because he knew I was a religious person, and I was a Christian. He goes, I can trust you because I know that you fear God. And I remember we had great talks with Farad. And I'm like, Farad, tell me about your God. He goes, my God is great and powerful. My God created all things. Mine too. My God is, you know, holy. He is, you know, and I'm like, mine. And he begins to say, and I said, Farad, the God that you're describing is my Father who is in heaven. He's my Father who is in heaven. When I said that God is my Father, do you know what he did? He covered his ears, and he was disgusted. No, you cannot say such. He just covers his ears. You can't call God your Father. God is this being out there that's impersonal. He's not your Father. Jesus says, I can call God my Father who art in heaven, how holy is thy name. This is unique, people. This a revelation and illumination. God is a divine personal being who created us to be in relationship with him. The number one commandment is to love God as God loves you. God is here. He's personal. This is unique to any other religion on the planet. Are you with me? Does this make sense? Who is God? Why did God put you here? Here's a great verse. I love. How about these? I mean, we read this one, Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appeared to us in the past saying, listen, this is God saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. God, the Creator, tells you in this room that he loves you with an everlasting love. How does that make you feel? He says, I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. Unfailing. This is God. Hosea 11:4, I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them, I was like one who lifts a child to the cheek. Isn't that beautiful? And you pick up a little munchkin and you pick him up and you give him a kiss on the cheek. This is the imagery. This is the imagery. I bent down to feed them. This is God. It's God. This is our God. Blessing and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, that you would listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord, people, is your life. The Lord is your life. And he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Isn't that a beautiful piece of scripture? Speaking to God's people about you all have freedom of choice. You all have freedom of choice. That was last week. You all have been given freedom of choice. God gives this to you. Moses says, choose God and live. Choose to walk in a love relationship with him because in that you find life. Pursue God. Hold fast to God, Moses says. I love that. That's a good text. You could find the essence of this faith in that text. It's the biggest reason, people, why he made you, he created you. You cannot love somebody you do not know, true or untrue. You cannot love someone that you do not know. You need to know somebody. If you want to know God, if you want to understand what this divine personality is, if you want to understand who God is, know Jesus. Know him. Colossians 2:9 says, for in Christ all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. He's God in human flesh. You want to know God? Know Jesus. John 14, verses 8 through 11, Philip says, Lord, show us the Father and it will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, do you not know me, Philip, even after I have been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. He says, you want to know God the Father? Know me. You want to know what this divine personality is? know Jesus. Know Jesus. There was this young man that came to our youth group years ago, and I remember in youth group on a Thursday night at High Life was the name of our youth group, and I was the old youth pastor here at Woodbridge, and I remember speaking on this, and I remember reading a verse. There's a verse that you should know. And we would go to Hume Lake for years, and there's like 800 high school students. Our students loved going to Hume Lake every summer because it was a great opportunity to scam on other people. Do you understand what I mean by scam? The boys are real excited about going because there's going to be cute girls up at camp. And the girls are excited because there's going to be cute boys up at camp. And you've probably heard me say this before and again, but I would always tell our students, hey guys, before we go up this year, there's no Skippy Skippy. How many people have ever heard me say that? Do you know what? Have you ever seen Skippy Skippy? Skippy Skippy goes like this. You're up at camp, and all of a sudden you look across the room and you see a girl. And you're like, she's cute. What do? You ask your friend to Skippy Skippy over and talk to her friend. Hey, my friend likes your friend. What's her name? And Skippy Skippy back. Her name is Jan. Does she have a boyfriend? Skippy Skippy over. Does Jan have a boyfriend? What's her favorite color? You know, where does she go to school? What grade is she in? And I told our students, I'm like, guys, and I make fun of this whole thing, and I'd say, there's no Skippy Skippy. You know, come on, people, you're going up there to connect and be with God. Hey, I remember saying this. I said, you're at Hume Lake, and you see this girl, and she's really cute, and your buddy does the Skippy Skippy just like Pastor Frank told you not to do. And you find out her name, you find out what grade she's in, you find out her favorite color, you find out where she's going to school, you find out what her favorite hobbies are. Do you know her?
No.
Answer? No. You don't know her until you go up and meet her, right? It's the same with God. It's the same with God. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
This is why you and I are here. To have a divine, it's not awareness. This is eternal life that they may have an awareness of you, the one true God. It's not that, it's relationship. It's to know, to be in being. To be connected. Who am I? What's my purpose? Why am I here? Why did God put me here? That's a good question. If you could go up and sit on a mountain with Jesus 2,000 years ago, the resurrected Christ, and you wake up and you see him and he's all alone and he's having that contemplative moment of looking up in the stars in the sky, and you're like, this is an opportunity. And you get up and you go and you sit next to him. How much money would you give for a moment like this? What would your question be? What if your question is, Jesus, why did God put us here? What was his plan? What was he thinking? I believe Jesus would answer this question by saying something to the fact, so the primary reason why you've been placed on this earth is to know God, to have a love relationship with God, to know your Creator and to walk with Him. This is why God has placed you here. Relationship with God is the primary purpose of why you exist and you're here. And you could almost see Last week, we read that God created a world, and it's broken, it's fallen. You could almost hear, if that's what God wanted, then why is there such a separation between God and man? Couldn't you see Jesus say, do you see these scars? You saw me crucified. You actually did it. Appreciate that. Do you know why I did this? I did this to restore humanity back to the Father and to bring relationship back to a broken world. Jesus sitting up on that stone would say, the reason why I have come, young man, is I've come from the Father to restore broken relationship between heaven and earth. That's why I'm here. That's why I exist. That's why I have come. John, 1 John 4, 9 and 10, and this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him, because we are separated from God and from the essence of life without Jesus. This is how God showed his love among us. He has sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, people. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus dies on the cross, taking all of your shame and guilt and sin upon himself. He atones for your sin by his own life. He pays your debt before a holy God so you could be connected with him. People, no matter what your circumstances are, God's love for you never changes. Did you know that? The cross, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus are the final, total, and complete expressions of God's love to you and to me. If all this is true, what should you do? Pursue him. Amen? Pursue him. God pursues you as a divine personality. God is divine personality that pursues you. He calls out to you. What should you do? Absolutely. The Lord is here in this room right now. This morning. Have you said good morning to God this morning yet? Because his divine personality, his divine being is in this room. The eyes of the Lord are upon you this morning. And the Lord calls out to you. His thoughts toward you are as numerous as the specks of sand on the beach. His thoughts toward you are uncountable. The Lord made you, the Lord knows you, and the Lord created you that you would walk with him in the cool of the day, that you would know him in this mysterious thing called the Christian faith, that you would know Jesus, and that you would fall in love with Jesus, that you would meet Jesus, that you would know Jesus, and that you would commit to following him and to walk with him. This is why you exist, and this is why relationships are so important to you, because God created you for relationship with him and for each other. Let that sink in. People, someday our eyes are going to behold the Lord. Someday, as this vapor that passes in the wind leaves this temporal world that we live in, someday we're going to be face to face. And when you see this being, it's not going to be some title that you see. You're going to be looking and beholding a divine being. And this is who calls you today to walk with him and to know him. Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray that my brothers and sisters in here, I pray, Lord, that those that are here this morning would feel in some respects how I felt that morning or that class at Biola years ago as Dr. Floyd was describing you to me, Lord, and he was describing you as a divine being of personality, a living being, an intelligent being, a being of emotional capacity, a being that has self-awareness, that God is this being that we engage with in life and walk with in life. I pray, Lord, that my brothers and sisters today could somehow experience a bit of what I was feeling that day in class, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would all just pause on this thought of you and a personal relationship with you. I pray, Lord, that all of us would explore what is the essence of why did Jesus come and why did he die on the cross for us? For what purpose? What is the essence of what Christians believe? What is the essence of what Jesus teaches? I pray, Lord, that we would know and understand that the essence of why you came and that why you made us and created us is answered somewhere within the idea that we have been made to have a relationship with you, to know you. I pray, Lord, that we would hunger to know you. I pray, Lord, that you would draw us unto you this day. I pray, Lord, that this week we would focus on you being sitting right next to us as divine being. That, Lord, as we journey through life all this next week, that you as a divine being walk with us. That your eyes are upon us, that you see us and you know us. And our desire would be to reach out to you, that we would rise, Lord, when you call our name. And this we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. I hope I did that well. I've been praying for this one all week. This was such an epiphany to me. I pray it's an epiphany to you. Or maybe you can remember. I remember, Pastor Frank, when that epiphany hit me. I hope and pray. We're going to sing this song called I Will Rise When He Calls My Name. And I want you just to sing this song and worship and just take this message and take these scriptures and take this talk and let the Holy Spirit stir this into your life. I pray that you would just take this time to connect with God, just you and him, and that you would just talk to the Lord. I want to invite people to come up for a time of prayer, and I want to ask for my wife to come up and stand next to me, for Pastor Graham and BJ, for Mike and Pat to come up in the balcony, to have Casey and Beth and Pastor Vince to be up there. And if you're here today and you just need someone to pray with you during these next few songs, maybe you're here today and you just need someone, just, God, help me. You want someone to pray with you. Maybe you seek something of the Lord. Maybe you're here today and you want to draw closer to God and you don't know how. Maybe you're here today and you just got a tough week coming up. The Bible says that the leaders of the church are to pray over people, and we'd be honored to pray with you. So in these next two songs, worship the Lord. And if you need prayer, we'd be honored to pray with you and to intercede before the throne of God with you.